I'm going to try it again. I did the whole intro, so I don't want to do that again. Ricky, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you.
My man, beautiful. It's been a minute or two, so what's going on? How are you? How is your life right now?
It's great. It's great. I mean, I heard you in the intro mention I was an entrepreneur, and anyone who really knows what that means knows that it's exciting, stressful, but it's great. I'm loving it.
Well, why don't we start right there? So what does that mean? What is that like, and why is that so stressful?
Well, because the idea of an entrepreneur is you're taking some idea that's in your head, some vision, and you're having to put together a team to make that vision a reality. And the things about the vision in our head, part of it is convincing other people that it's valid. And I think you can relate, someone else who's been ahead of their time, is that sometimes it takes time for people to catch up. And so it's this constant grind of selling the vision and then putting together the team to actually make it real.
Extremely well said. Ricky Williams is my guest. My man, you were way ahead of your time. You were way more ahead of your time than I was ahead of my time. But I want to ask you one thing about being a CEO, because you had an interview with Sports Illustrated that I thought was really interesting. And you talked about the fact that initially you kind of resisted being a CEO. So how did you decide to approach that role to make sure that you're going to lead in a way that feels comfortable to you and is completely authentic to you?
Oh, well said. You know, a big part of it was reviewing, because my experience, because anything we do, we're always bringing our experience from the past into. And so my experience around quote unquote CEOs was really about around head coaches. And so I just have taken a lot of the lessons and the philosophies that I picked up about leadership, and trying to bring it into what I'm doing. And the greatest challenge is, and I've so identified with being the talent, or being the person on the field being told what to do, it's a shift of mindset to being the leader telling people what to do.
We're talking to Ricky Williams, entrepreneur and former NFLer. You know, so Rick, when I talk about you being ahead of your time, over the past few years, there's been so many more open conversations about mental health in sports and in society in general. It feels to me like you were on the forefront of that in football long before it was accepted or even talked about. What was that like for you at that time? And then what are your thoughts of where that conversation is currently?
Well, you know, at the time, I didn't see myself as being a pioneer. I was really someone like wrestling with my own mental health questions. And, you know, it became like a challenge for me. And so back, you know, at that time, it was like a big release. And it felt like I can get this off my chest the more that I can talk about it. And it's not something that I have to keep inside. And that was just my experience. And so it's great to see that people are, you know, learning those same things, is that if we keep things inside, we can't do anything about it. If we have the courage to share our vulnerabilities, then we can actually, you know, do something about it. And so I'm so glad to see that this idea of the tough athlete is starting to crumble and realizing that true toughness requires some vulnerability.
Exactly. Ricky Williams is joining us. You were also way ahead of the sports world when it came to cannabis, and now you have numerous states which have legalized marijuana for all uses, even more have legalized it for medicinal use. Sports leagues have relaxed their restrictions as well. What do you make of where that is right now and what the future holds for it too?
Well, I think you know, the conversation we just finished and this conversation are linked. I mean, at least they were linked for me. And when I started using cannabis, it started to help me soften and be more reflective and look at my life from a different perspective. And I think in general, people are starting to realize that, you know, quote unquote, being high is not always a bad thing. You know, that sometimes we need to relax and take a wider perspective and be more introspective and understand ourselves on a deeper level. And I think that's the definition of mental health, is what is my relationship like with my inner world? And the way that I envision people using cannabis and the way I use it is to help me understand who I am better.
Ricky Williams joining us. You know, Ricky, you strike me, and frankly, you are extremely humble, and I don't think you're running on any kind of bitterness or any kind of vitriol, anything like that negative stuff. So a reason I'm bringing this up, when we talk about mental health or we talk about marijuana and the fact that you were so far out in front of this and you understood certain things before others did, is there any part of you that wants to say, yeah, apology accepted? How do you all like me now? What do you have to say to me now? Is there any of that for you?
Well, no, because to me, the true apology is that people are just listening. You know, and I think especially because for me, I've met so many people, and a lot of them come up to me and they thank me. They say, you know, because you took a stance on cannabis, you know, I experimented and I found that it helped. And to me, that's the greatest apology. Is that to me, being ahead of your time, it's not so much about getting over being laughed at. It's about, you know, just listen, right? Because the positive side of being ahead of your time is that people call you a genius because you saw something before they did.
We're talking to Ricky Williams. Now, if you had been a Heisman winner and then a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, would your story have been all about football? And if it were only about football, in that way, would that have felt like something of a trap?
I would have felt like my life was a failure. I mean, my main motivation as a kid to be famous was to have a voice. And the one thing that plagued me when I became famous was that I didn't feel like I really stood for anything, you know, because part of climbing to the top is I had to, like, you know, put on a certain act so people would, you know, applaud and I could make it. And so, it wasn't until I became the Rebel that I actually found something that was like a cause, you know, the meaning to this, to the fame, to the yards and the touchdowns and the trophies and all that stuff. And so it feels great. It feels like redemptive that I've accomplished my goal, is that I've used fame to get a bigger message out into the world.
Get a platform. Ricky Williams joining us. So I'm curious, as you look back, do you feel like cannabis made you a better football player, or maybe did it provide a balance to your life that made you a better person, and then that in turn made you a better football player?
You nailed it. You nailed it. And you know, because my vision of a great football player before was, give me all the carries, give me all the glory, right? And I realized that, yeah, I had a lot of glory, but also my body hurt a lot. And, you know, and my life was out of balance. And when I started using cannabis, I started to ask bigger questions and to nurture other parts of myself that gave me more balance. And then as I was a better football player, I was more efficient. You know, my body didn't hurt as much. I was happier. I was splitting time with Ronnie Brown, who was one of my best friends. And so it was, the quality of my life definitely increased. I didn't have as many yards, as many accolades, but I was much happier.
Fascinating. Ricky Williams joining us. And, of course, you're always searching. You're always searching and seeking. And as part of that, you've spent some time researching and studying astrology. You and I have talked about this briefly in the past, but how did that first come to be? And then what have you learned through your studies?
Yeah, so it's a similar theme. What scared me in my life is certain things. I would make choices, right? And then there'd be certain consequences, and I would reflect and I'd say, like, where did that choice come from? Right? I didn't consciously want to do that. And so I realized there's something going on inside that I'm not really in touch with. And so that's when I started getting interested in yoga and meditation and all these things, because I was curious about what's going on the inside. And I met this woman who was an astrologer, and she talked to me about my astrological chart. And what I realized is, wow, this woman has a lot of insight about what's going on for me on the inside. And I realized that that's what astrology is. It's a map of our inner world, of our urges, of our dreams, of our aspirations, of our hangups. And we can learn about these things through life. You know, we bump heads with a certain person and eventually we realize, hey, maybe I need to approach this differently. But if you have a map, you can be proactive in working on your stuff and also appreciating what you're good at. You know, when she talked to me, the one thing that she pointed out to me that I was not aware of was that I was smart, that I was a philosopher. And I kind of knew those things about me, but in the environment of a football player, they just called me weird. But talking to her, it was like, oh, so I should be traveling. I should be studying. I should be into all these interesting things. And so it gave me permission to allow myself to be myself.
Dude, that is such gold. I love that response so much. Ricky, like, how about the first part of that? Maybe help me with this, and this is a much longer conversation, but why do we do things that we know we shouldn't do? Why do we do things that we know are going to make us feel like crap? I mean, maybe we don't always know they will, but very clearly we do things that we know we shouldn't do. Why is that?
Well, I think it's complicated, you know,
right.
And this is what I've learned. Like, we live in two different worlds. We have an inner life and an inner world. We have an outer life, you know. We have inner wants and desires, but then we have the outer world telling us what those desires should be and how we should fulfill them, and it just creates a lot of conflict. And so I think it's just, you know, these choices are just a manifestation of the conflict. And the great thing about astrology is you can understand the inner stuff, you can understand the outer stuff, and you can find a way to negotiate. Like, how can I get my needs met in a way that's socially acceptable? But most of us, we don't think that way because we're always thinking that we're doing something wrong.
Ricky Williams is joining us. You're right. It's a really complicated conversation that I thought that you just kind of made a lot more. It's not as simplistic as that, but that helps quite a bit. Now, let's talk really quickly about Highsmith. How did this first come to be, and what was it that made you want to get involved? Highsmith. Well, you know, Highsmith. Excuse me.
Yeah. So H-I-G-H-S-M-A-N.
Right.
You know, people ask, you know, just about the trophy, and I say it's not about a trophy. It's about getting high. And yeah. And so it was during the COVID, you know, during COVID, when COVID first hit, you know, a lot of the ways that retired players make money is through memorabilia stuff. And so COVID hit, the current players weren't traveling because of the teams, and the older guys weren't traveling because they're older and more susceptible. And so there was this group of, like, you know, retired players that were young and willing to travel. And so I started getting a lot more business signing autographs. And what I found is, people started asking me to sign with cannabis subscriptions. So I signed my name and I'd write, you know, smoke weed every day or puff, puff, run. And it was fun, you know, sitting there in a room signing smoke weed every day 500 times. But I saw that it started to catch fire. And what I realized is it seems like people are really looking for a way to integrate these two things that they love, but they've been taught are separate. And that's sports, you know, achieving, and cannabis. And so I realized, wow, there's a drive for people to be able to do this. And I said, who better to give people this opportunity than me because of my story? And so I saw that there was a need for people to have a way to enjoy these two things together. And I'm capitalizing on that and really creating, we call it a lifestyle brand. And it's a lifestyle brand that allows people to integrate their cannabis use into not only sports, but to all the things they want to achieve in life.
Oh, it's so incredible. It's incredible on so many different levels. Again, I want to reiterate, it's Highsmith, H-I-G-H-S-M-A-N. And you just said it's not about the trophy, it's about getting high, which is an incredible line and really powerful. So there are currently three strains, am I correct? Pre-game, halftime, and post-game. What is each one about?
Yeah, so this is an example of what we're doing. And again, taking every opportunity that we can to combine these two things. And so in the cannabis world, people, you know, they talk about sativas have an effect where they get you up, you know, they're more mental. And so it's like to get your mind right. And indicas, they say indica couch because indicas are heavier and they're more of it's a body sensation. Okay. And so as in sports, you know, people can understand that, you know, before the game is pregame, you got to get your mind right. Okay. And then after the game, in order to be ready to go next week, you got to recover. And so it's a way of speaking to people who are into sports, who are athletes, who appreciate sports, and conveying this message that of how to use cannabis. You know, if you're a person like me, I get up in the morning and I love to read. And so, you know, I'll have the Jesus Skittlesworth in the morning, you know, our pregame. And at night, you know, when I need to go to sleep or if I'm worried about something and I'm having difficulty sleeping, go to our cherry rice, you know, the post game to help me get back into the body, relax and get some rest. And the other part is the convention of naming the strains. You know, we looked at the genetics of the cannabis strains and we said, how can we find sports, you know, sports themed names to integrate these two? And that's been a fun creative process.
Oh, no, Ricky, these names are amazing. These are incredible names. I have great appreciation for that. Leave me with this thought, if you don't mind. So, like you said, it's about learning about cannabis, and I want to learn more. I don't know as much as I'd like to know or I'm going to know, but in my personal situation, as an example, if I don't really drink ever during the week, but come Friday night, I'm going to get myself a martini, or I'm going to get a martini, or maybe even a little more. But frankly, it's not the healthiest way to go about things. And maybe I want to change out or change my routine. If I were to substitute cannabis somehow, some way for that vodka martini, where would I start? What would you advise me to do?
So you're in Southern California, right?
Yes.
So there's delivery services if you're not comfortable going to a dispensary. But there's a product out there called CANN, C-A-N-N. And it's a drink. It's a healthy drink. It's a low dose of THC. And for people that have a you know, part of their ritual is drinking. It's a great way to introduce cannabis and just to see, right? I relax, you know, you relax, drink this way, you know, try relaxing, you know, using THC instead of alcohol and, you know, seeing the difference. You know, how do you feel? And experimenting. And I tell people experiment, but start easy. You know, and I think for you, is a great way to start.
Dude, I think that's amazing what you just said. Like, you understand there's a ritual to it. You're right. I mean, not only do I like it, but the thing I like most about it is the ritual. I like the ritual. I like the process. But what if I could abandon the ritual? What if I want to smoke something or consume something another way? What's another opportunity?
Well, I would say to do that is find someone that you trust and you like to initiate you into the process. You know, I think so much of altered states is, and there's been so much research, is about set and setting. You know, it's about, because there should be a purpose to the relaxation. You know, and sometimes we get stressed out because we're worried about the little things. And what this can do is help us let go of the little things and reflect on the larger things. Okay? Then that puts the little things into perspective. So we wake up in the morning refreshed.
My man, Ricky Williams, this is such interesting conversation and information. If people listening, and this is just the tip of the iceberg, if people listening would like to know more about Heisman or more about some of the things that you have learned and you are sharing, what is the best way for them to get this information and to get closer to you?
Yeah, so for specifically Heisman, our website, heisman.co, heisman.co, and people that are interested in like stuff that I'm saying personally, people can actually book time. They give me their birth information and start talking about them. So it's a cool experience for people, and they can find me at rickywilliams.life.
I love that. He is an entrepreneur, a CEO, an all-pro, a pro bowler. I already ran down the numbers. Ricky Williams. And Ricky, you and I have done this for a long, long time. I really, really appreciate you. I appreciate that conversation. And so good to get caught up, man. Thank you so much.
You're the man. I mean, I'm not just saying that because of your reputation, but the actual experience of talking to you, it's so wonderful. So thank you for the wonderful questions
now,
and
Ricky,
the open-mindedness.
Thank you so much for saying so, Ricky. I feel the same way about you. I really do. I think you're a wonderful man. I really appreciate the conversation and the relationship. All right? Talk again soon. Yeah. Ricky Williams. It's incredible to me how far ahead of his time he was. You know, and the sort of heat and flack and pressure that he must have been under back then and that he had to deal with. And all those things that he was thinking or experiencing or doing back then.